Blog Talk Radio.
I love, she speaks like silence, without ideals or violence. Doesn't have to say she's faithful, it's just true like ice, like fire. People carry roses, make promises by the hour. My love, she laughs like the flowers, Valentine, fire.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I think he's a whiny little bitch.
Absolutely.
Bunch of fucks. I'll be the guy that when he bends over, you see his hockey night whale ass.
Make him humble.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
Maybe it's just because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because I'm becoming more sensible.
No.
When I start making love, I don't just make love, I be stroking. That's what I be doing. I be stroking. I stroke it to the east, and I stroke it to the west. And I stroke it to the woman that I love the best. I be stroking. Let me ask you something. What time of the day do you like to make love?
You ask me excellent question.
The other night I was stroking my woman, and it got so good to her. You know what she told me? Let me tell you what she told me. She said, stroke a Clarence Carter, but don't stroke so fast. Stuff ain't tight enough, you can stick it up my...
Yeah, it's a hole.
Oh, I be stalking. I be stalking.
They all get off together and work as one.
Yes, we will. It is the Third Man in Radio. I am Chris Block, the editor, writer, and the keeper of thethirdmanin.com. It is the Third Man in Radio, coincidentally, here on this, Saturday morning. 11:04 here in Chicago alongside, I hope I can hear him, the Superstar. How you doing today, Superstar?
I'm here, a little matinee action today.
Only one matinee in the NHL today, and it's in a couple hours from now, Tampa Bay visiting the New York Islanders. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about that one.
Why?
Well, it'll be Steven Stamkos, you know, Marty St. Louis. I mean, right there, the price of admission.
Take your word for it.
All right, well, I'll be watching it while I'm... we'll get into that a little bit later. So, Superstar, it's been a long week. It's been a hectic week. Actually, 2 weeks for me. And as we talked about last week on the show, I'm back from Las Vegas. A lot of things happened in Las Vegas. Maybe we'll talk about a couple of them. Maybe we won't. And you should be quiet too, Superstar. We probably should have talked about this before we went on the air.
Yeah, we probably should have. But I get what you're saying, and I will plead the fifth to keep you protected.
Screw it. I'll just tell everybody right now, yes, if anybody's heard the rumor, yes, I did indeed pull out the Nature Boy at the Bellagio on Saturday night, but we'll that's not why I got kicked out of the Bellagio, though, by the way. But maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. We had lots of stuff to talk about. There's some craziness going on out there in people who have pens or forums to write and be published. I mean, it's insane stuff. I heard things about James Wisniewski becoming a Blackhawk again. It was just insanity like that. But, you know, we'll get to it eventually. How's your week been, Superstar? I haven't talked to you at all. Like, what's been going on over there?
You know, just a real-time job, and, you know, it felt weird not having a show this during the week, but it was a good week, and, you know, weekend's off to a relaxing start, so that was a positive as well.
I don't know about you, but I'm really feeling good about it. I mean, I'll tell you this, though, right now. Like, last night I came home, and remember a couple weeks ago, I don't remember when it was, when I was trying to give tips to all the bachelors out there, the single guys, you know, listening to the show?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure about 90% of our audience is who I'm speaking to right now. But I did something last night. This really isn't advice. I think this is like something that maybe it just explains me a little bit, maybe. I don't know. So I come home last night from work. I get home about 7 o'clock. And I came, you know, I'm walking around the house. I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I haven't figured out, like, what am I going to do tonight, you know, any kind of stuff. So I basically figured out that what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on the treadmill, I'm going to watch some hockey, and I'm going to make myself some dinner, and then we'll just take it from there. We'll just take it how it goes, you know. So after I do all that, I go to the refrigerator, and I look in the refrigerator, and I said to myself, and of course this is after I just worked out, I said to myself, I go, Block, as I'm surveying the scene, I'm like, what could I possibly eat right now that would, like, be the worst combination of food that you could think of? Like, what would not go together? Like, basically, what can I make myself right now? What can I put into my body that would be least beneficial to me and pretty much everybody around me, you know, in the next 24 hours? Like, what could I possibly put together here? What kind of feast could I cook up?
I'm sure something good, too.
Yeah. So I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, that looks good. And so basically what I did was I had and, like, you would never go to a restaurant. This would never be an option. Only at the Block household would this be an option. I made myself bean burritos and raw shrimp cocktail.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's good so far, but that, you know, I'd almost rather that there'd be like a major catastrophe already, just because I'd feel better about going out tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely need that catastrophe to happen sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as I was eating, it felt like a great
sex
idea.
With Kobe. Yeah, it's kind of like sex with Kobe. It's happening. You just, when.
But, yeah, so, I mean, but those are the kind of things you can get away with. Like, Superstar, you would never be able to get away with a dinner like that.
No, no.
No.
I don't think I can get away with dinner like that even when the fiancé isn't at home and I'm making dinner for myself.
I mean, it's an interesting combination of foods there.
Yeah.
I was surprised I had them, and I don't usually carry a large stock of food in the refrigerator because I'm never here. But, I mean, it was all in there. And I was, you know, seemed like a good idea at the time. I'm sure I'll regret it later. Okay. What do I want to talk about?
I really don't know. It seems like everything you we got to hit. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
A lot of good reaction to the Deadpool show last week.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me, that it was a pretty
pretty positive response out of everyone.
I want to give people a little bit of a backstory on last week's show because I'm all about being just coming out and saying whatever. Behind the scenes last week, I confided in the superstar. He came, we touched base. I haven't actually seen the superstar in a long time, but I touch base with him every once in a while, and we talk on the show. But I touched base with the superstar before last week's show, and I said, superstar, I don't want to talk about the Blackhawks. I want to do a whole show, and I don't want to talk about the Blackhawks because, quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of the Blackhawks. I don't want to talk about them. It bores me. And really, there's nothing to talk about that wouldn't annoy me, and I'd walk off my own show. So we decided to do a whole show where we could talk about the Blackhawks as little as possible, and I think we almost accomplished it, where we didn't even talk about them at all.
Yeah, no, we were pretty – I don't really recall talking much – Hawks at all. In fact, I think we just kind of skimmed over what was going on in the NHL, in fact.
Our show last week mirrored the Blackhawks' performance on the ice the last 2 weeks.
Correct. It did. It did.
We're all about theming the shows. We're all about, staying current, and the Blackhawks were right alongside us right there. They're into next week already, and they have been for 2 weeks. Giving up points to teams that they don't want to be giving up points to, like the Dallas Stars, a team they've got a ton of problems with this season, a team that is right there on the cusp of the eighth spot. The Blackhawks could finish first or second. They're looking at matchups with teams like the Calgary Flames, the Dallas Stars, the Detroit Red Wings, the Nashville Predators, the Colorado Avalanche. So what do you think that you want to do in regular season when points mean everything? You think you want to beat the Dallas Stars in regulation. Maybe that would be a good idea. Maybe pounce on them a little bit. Make it really hard for them to get into a position where they're facing you in the first round and they could play Cinderella. No. Blackhawks just lackadaisically play through that game. Yeah, it was a fun game to watch, for a fan, just watching the action going back and forth. But the Blackhawks should have put their foot down and been more assertive and finished that game in regulation like they're capable of. But they didn't. Because they're already on vacation. It's just like with the Phoenix Coyotes last week. Phoenix Coyotes are in the middle of the pack there in the West, but I like the Phoenix Coyotes. I've been watching them more lately, and you kind of see how they're getting it done. And Dave Tippett, and I don't know if I told the show, I talked to Dave Tippett last week before the Dallas game. Or not the Dallas, St. Louis game, before the St. Louis game. I guess that was the day after the last show we did. He was walking in the United Center, and I stopped, and we talked, and we had a really, he's a very interesting, good guy, intense man. But been watching them a lot more lately, sort of seeing how they're getting it done. But again, stomp your foot down. The Blackhawks were so awful on Friday night against the Phoenix Coyotes. Just, like, they didn't want to be there. And these are all points that, maybe you're avoiding by giving up these points and, maybe you're avoiding a first-round matchup with the Red Wings, which, is something that you don't want. You absolutely don't want that. But I just don't like the way they're playing. Everything, it's like, let's put it in terms of at your job. Like everybody, hopefully everybody listening to this has a job. But, you're at your job, and maybe you sit at a desk, and you've got a pile of work to do. And you're going on vacation next week. Do you see vacation is in your sights, and you sit there and you're like, I'll get to this when I get back. But guess what? When you get back, you still got to attain for the work that you didn't do before you went on vacation. The Blackhawks still have to attain for this mess. It's a minor, bump in the road, and these things happen, but they're capable of more. They should be beating these teams. And just really disappointed with the way they're playing, even in the games that they're winning. Just not playing well right now. And I don't like this game tonight. In a few hours from now, people are listening to this. The Atlanta Thrashers are coming into town. A lot better team than I think people really understand. Sort of false sense of security as a fan, I think, to know that Ilya Kovalchuk's been traded and maybe these guys have quit on the season or something. No, they're not. As of the moment, after last night, Atlanta's only two points out of the eighth spot in the East, trailing Boston. They've got Tampa right there, equal with Boston too. So we really got to, they've got to leapfrog both. But I mean, this is a good team that moves the puck really, really well. I mean, Rick Dudley, who's the assistant general manager in Atlanta, is you know, you could see that, you know, Dale Talon should get the credit for the team that he built that is this team right now that, you know, in Chicago that's, you know, had this great season up to this point. But Rick Dudley, you know, had a lot of influence on that team as well, and you could see that he's trying to do some of the same things. They've got Tobias, I mean, they've got four Olympians. I don't know if people know that, but they have four Olympians, two on the Swedes, two on the Czechs, Andrei Pavlich, who I assume we're going to see tonight in net for the Thrashers, who used to be the Chicago Wolves goalie for a couple of years. He'll be the backup to Thomas Vokoun for the Czechs. You've got Pavel Kobina on that team as well, and then two Swedish rear guards, Tobias Enström and Johnny Oduya, who just came in the trade for Kolbachuk. So it's, I mean, they're a team that can move the puck really well. Pavlich is a good young goalie. And, I mean, up front, they're going to be pesky. And if, you know, I like to guys like Jimmy Slater. Nobody knows about Jimmy Slater. Jimmy Slater's having a really good year. Rich Peverly started off hot. They've got, you know, guys that are annoying to play against, like Colby Armstrong. And then if you happen to play him on a night where Nick Antropov and Maxime Finneganoff and Brian Little show up ready to play, it's going to be a tough night for you. I don't like this game at all for the Blackhawks. I really don't. And Antti Niemi in the net for the third game in a row, which we'll have to talk about too. I don't like this game. I see Atlanta coming in here and getting 2 points, and I don't see the Blackhawks getting any. And it's not even a trap game. It's just a game to me that the Blackhawks have already mentally gone on vacation, and I see it as a big loss.
Well, I don't know as much about Atlanta as all that. I do agree with you 100% that throughout the last 2 weeks, this team has been on vacation. And they talk about, you know, finishing and the race to the break and all this stuff. And, 5-4-1 over your last 10 is not getting it done with the teams that you are playing. A lot of those home games, that's not how you want to race to the break. I mean, you're at 83 points. You got a good, comfortable lead in the division. But like you mentioned, those teams at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 battling for the playoffs, I'm not comfortable with the Hawks facing any of them in the first round.
No, you know, and I didn't even mention the Ducks. The Ducks are a team the Blackhawks have a lot of problems with. St. Louis is still hanging around. Once you get past, really, I mean, because they're so tight, you have to figure them all in. But again, I mean, in this system where you're giving away, you know, potentially 3 points a night, it's and it happens a lot. It's hard for teams to leapfrog. You really have to go on a heck of a run. I don't count St. Louis or Minnesota in the playoff picture just because they have to go on such a run, and you also need not only the teams 9, 10, and 11 that are in front of them, Dallas, Detroit, and Anaheim, but then you also need, you know, two or three teams in the top eight to fall off. Do you expect and really the only two teams that can fall out of there are at the 7 and 8 spot, which is Nashville and Calgary. Calgary is very susceptible to falling out of there. Nashville will hang around until the bitter end, and, one of the 9, 10, and 11 teams, in my opinion, will get in. I expect it to be Detroit. Anaheim going to have a tough time. But Dallas is right there, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with Turco. I expect him to be dealt. I mean, you don't trade for Kari Lehtinen and just let him sit on the bench for 2 months. That doesn't make sense either. I mean, considering that Turco will not be a Dallas Star next year. There will be, you know, this is the end of the Marty Turco era. You know, it's been a great one. But it is the end. It's been a very, very good one. I hate throwing around the term great. This is the end of it, so you expect him to be dealt here, when the roster freeze opens up again on the late on the 28th. But You know, I still have to. I mean, they're right there. They're a part of the mix, and they have very good players still. So, I mean, Lettinen could come in, or Alex Auld could take the reins, and they could. I mean, they could be the team that goes on the run. But it's just my point is, you're playing around with these teams that you should be just stopping them and putting an end to them. So if I'm the Blackhawks, I want Nashville or Calgary in the first round. I don't want to play Anaheim, Dallas, or Detroit because they're teams that, in the last few years, as a Blackhawk, if I'm Joel Quenneville, I've had a lot of problems with. And while you have their fate, in your hands, contribute to it. I mean, just to let these games slide and let these teams get points, in your building. I hate it. It really bothers me the way this team's finishing going into the break. And, it won't matter if they come and have a lights out March, but they've got a lot of games in March, and they've got a lot of road games in March too. So, we'll see. I mean, the home games are, there's a lot of, in March when the Blackhawks get back, of course they play Atlanta at home tonight, in Columbus tomorrow, mid-afternoon. I'm having get rid of that superstar. I left something up there on my computer I probably shouldn't have.
Mr. Bergen, do you have a massive erection?
I don't want anybody hearing that.
A little distraction there, Block?
I think that was from last night. when the Blackhawks get back in March, I mean, their home games, Edmonton, I mean, their first two games are two good teams to get back into the flow again. They're basically like practice meets with the Islanders and Edmonton at home, back-to-back nights. It will be a tough game for those players finishing up, whoever's still left standing. On the final Sunday in Vancouver, they've got a cross-country flight for those. Pat Foley will hate that. To Long Island to play the Islanders on the Tuesday night. Then you've got Edmonton at home. But then, it really starts. I mean, there's a lot of tough games in March. Vancouver at home, and everybody's awaiting that game. Then Detroit at home. LA's not. I mean, that's not an easy game for the Hawks. At Philly, Washington at home. Then you go back to Anaheim, back to L.A., Phoenix, home and home with Phoenix, actually. So those are two tough games for the Blackhawks. Home and home with Columbus, finish at St. Louis, at Minnesota. That's the Blackhawks' month of March. It's not so easy. So, I just don't like the way that the team is finishing here, and we'll see if it affects them in any way.
Out of those 15 games in March, how many points do they have to come out with?
They can come out with 16 if they want. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. I think that off the schedule that we just read off, the Blackhawks are capable of beating every one of those teams. That's what makes them one of the best, one, two, or three best teams in the league. But the way they're playing now and the fact that their lineup is going to change a little bit next month. Of course, the trade yesterday, Cam Barker going to Minnesota for Kim Johnson and a prospect, Nick Leddy, one of Al McIver's guys. That's a new guy that's coming in the lineup this weekend. There's another trade to be made here. I haven't seen everything that's been written or all the reactions just because I haven't been paying attention to it at a time. But one of the things that I don't know that people have talked about or not, but Kim Johnson. Kim Johnson makes $4.8 million this season. So this deal has effectively put the Blackhawks, what we're talking about with the salary cap isn't like you just, it isn't where they are today because with the salary cap, you're talking about an accrual. It's where they are on the final day of the regular season. And if the Blackhawks go over, anything that they go over gets tacked on to next season as money they can't use. So the Blackhawks are really flirting with it even more now. And there's another move coming here. There has to be. And I don't know what it is. you know, I guess we can go and start addressing everybody's main concern, which is the goalie. My thing here is with this, and I got a lot of reaction actually to my Committed Indian column from last Friday, talking about you know, the unrest that is Blackhawks Nation with Cristobal Huwa, and to a much lesser extent, for some reason, Antti Niemi. And if you didn't read it, I'll put it up on the website. I'm actually going to sit down today and do some stuff with the website, but since I actually have time today. Of course, if I don't spend all the rest of the day in the facilities. Basically, the gist of that column was Blackhawks fans have already, and not everybody, and to be totally fair, I've talked to a lot of smart Blackhawks fans that don't have this opinion. They're okay with the goaltending. In a perfect world, would you rather have Marty Brodeur or Henrik Lundqvist or somebody than Cristobal Huwa? Of course you would. But, I mean, those guys aren't going to get traded here. And the guys that are going to get traded here are, you know, when you're talking about top flight goalies, the guys that are going to get traded are guys that have run their course in another NHL city, i.e. goalies that other teams are getting rid of. So that throws up a warning flag immediately. You know, be careful what you wish for. I mean, other people's jewels look better because, you know, I mean, Marty Turco, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's a very good goalie. I don't know. But is he better than Cristobal Huwa? No. Could he go on a run, so to speak, you know, and be, you know, more reliable? I mean, could you? I guess what I'm saying is Blackhawks fans think that they'll be more comfortable with Marty Turco in net, but the stats just don't bear it out. And again, I watch a lot of hockey, and a lot more last year than this year. But I watch everybody. I don't concentrate on the Hawks. I watch everything. And to suggest that Marty Turco is the answer, you're just wrong. Just absolutely wrong. In the last 2 years, Marty Turco hasn't been the Marty Turco that maybe you think he is. And Dallas is giving up on him. I mean, he's only 34 years old, and they're moving on. I mean, he'll be 35 next year, but they're moving on. 35, yeah, I mean, 35 is 35, but there are plenty of NHL goalies that play until they're 37, 38, and they're still very, very good. Another name that pops up is another one that's coming up with the Blackhawks, you know, as far as fans wanting to improve the goaltending. Dwayne Rolison. Dwayne Rolison's an old goalie, you know. So, I mean, Dallas is giving up on Marty Turco. There's a reason why they're giving up on Marty Turco. You want to pin your hopes, your Stanley Cup hopes, on a guy that Dallas is giving up on? I don't see the logic in it.
No, I don't either. And you know, as we started this adventure of the show, one of our biggest concerns coming into the season was the goaltending. And I think both of these guys, Huwa and Niemi, have answered the call. I mean, people need to get off of them and realize that, you know what, just because you lose a couple games 4-2 or 5-1, you know what, it's not always the goaltending fault. They lead the league in goals against.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is, and there was a column, it's not even a column, it's a blog. Post on Chicago Now this week that someone sent me. I think you sent it to me as well. By a guy who works for the Score, Jay Zawoski. Okay? And, you know, it was interesting. I think the thing with his take on it is that, I mean, for the most part, everybody looks at, you know, Niemi is the answer, you know, with glossy eyes, and you just, oh my God, this Antti Niemi. Zawoski had a slightly different take, in that he's not enamored with either Blackhawks goaltender. Now, of course, if you put both Blackhawks goaltenders together, it's the best tandem in hockey, statistically. But Jay Zawoski doesn't like him. So, but here's the funny part of what I want to highlight something Jay Zawoski said because I think it's particularly interesting. Where is it here? Oh, here we go. This is Jay Zawoski's words. When I evaluate a goalie, I look at save percentage. Turco is a .911, while Tim Thomas is a .916. Huey is a .903, and Niemi is a .920. So I guess his point is that Turco or Thomas is better than Huey because Jay Zawoski figured out, the genius that is Jay Zawoski figured out, that save percentage is indicative of how many pucks a goalie stops. You know, I've been watching hockey for 32 years. I don't know that I knew that.
I didn't know that either.
Let me ask Jay Zawoski this, okay? And his opinion is his opinion. Let me ask someone this. Like, this is my biggest pet peeve about people that watch hockey, and they don't watch it, okay? You watch it, but you don't understand what you're looking at, okay? And then you go to the stats and you say, oh, that, you know, you look at a stat and you say, well, this is my opinion right here. Okay, when you're looking at statistics, they're all relative. Because let me ask someone like Jay Zawoski this, okay? If the Blackhawks is a team, all right, their defense is designed to, which everybody's defense should be designed, but just more teams, you know, some teams execute it better than others. If your defense is designed to push offenses to the sides, so when they do get shots off, they're at, you know, reduced angles. And they're, you know, far from the outside, from bad angles that goalies have time to square up to and make saves to. Okay, so if you're, as a defense, you accomplish that, okay, well then the shots that the goalie is facing are going to be, let's just say, I mean, let's call them low risk. Okay, to whereas a goalie that plays on a team that, you know, is a Chinese fire drill in front of him, he's still facing 25, 30 shots a night, just like the other guy, but he's facing them from all different angles. So his save percentage, you can't look at his save percentage and then stack it up against the next guy and just, you know, it's not black and white. You know, so you got to watch him. You have to watch the goalie. You have to watch the team. And that's what I'm talking about with Marty Turco. He had a very good third period against the Hawks. But I didn't see anything from Marty Turco that made me believe that he's any better than Cristobal Huey or Antti Niemi. So you want to trade assets that could, you know, that are on this team right now, because that's what it's going to take. You know, it's going to take one asset that's on the team. Not if you're talking about Marty Turco, but again, you need to trade salary because Marty Turco makes a lot of money. You know, and this Kim Johnson again, this Kim Johnson deal, like, really screws with you even more. And you know, for anybody that say, well, you just trade Huey, well, you got to find a team that wants Huey. Specifically, if you're talking about Dallas. Dallas doesn't want Huey. They got their goalie for next year, Yari Lehtinen. Dallas is in financial straits. Tom Hicks is trying to sell the team. He's not looking to take on salary. He doesn't want Huey. So if you want, I mean, if Stan Bowman does want Marty Turco, and Stan Bowman came out yesterday and gave, you know, to the media, and he gave Huey and Niemi another vote of confidence, which is almost like the kiss of death. Let's be honest. When you're constantly coming out and giving votes of confidence, there's something is up. But you know, it's like, there we go. We had a caller again. Don't call anymore during the show because it just distracts me.
You tell everyone to call, and then when they call, you tell them not to.
Because, like, I'm doing, like, ever since I destroyed my laptop in that fit of rage. it's been hard for me to do the show, you know, because I'm browsing through things here and there, and like it's a mess.
You are a mess.
I am a mess. But anyway, what was I talking about? Before somebody, how dare they call in and distract me? Whatever.
How dare they reach out and try to be interactive? And
yeah. What do you think this is?
I'm shocked we got a listener on a Mad Day action.
Yeah, but anyway, Marty Turco, like, I will say this, okay? I'll say this. If it means that it'll give Joel Quenneville peace of mind, I'm all for it. Because the one thing, and Joel Quenneville is done a great job with this team for the most part, but the drum I've been banging since the day he was brought in is that, yes, he's a damn good coach, and, you know, history, and, you know, his numbers prove it. But when he, you know, in the long run, and it's been the case in every single season the guy's been a head coach, it's micromanaging, but basically he tries to outthink himself. He overmanages his team, and he's overmanaged this goalie situation. From the very beginning of the year, yes, Cristobal Huey started off slow. It happens. But then, I mean, Quenneville took it upon himself that he said, well, we're going to set out, I mean, say this, but this, when you go back and look at the moves that he's made and who he's played Huey against and who he hasn't, he decided that he was going to build Huey's confidence. Well, what came along with that was Niemi started playing well. And, you know, that's fine, but Niemi's still your backup goaltender. Huey's your number one. He has more experience. He is the guy that you need to ride here until he proves that he's not the guy. I'm sorry, folks, he hasn't done that yet. There's nothing that does he give up a bad goal, you know, here and there? Yeah, he does. A lot of goalies do. But, I mean, how many nights has he been in net where he gave up three or four goals that just, you couldn't believe it. Now, some people would say many, okay, but I would say that you don't know what you're looking at. You know, I mean, there's been a couple of those games. But for the most part, yeah, there's one or two games. There's been a lot of defensive breakdowns. Duncan Keith has not been the Duncan Keith that people are touting for the Norris ever since December 22nd. He hasn't been the same player. And I'm sorry. I can't. You know, yes, he's very, very good. I can't for a guy that I've been watching every single night like this, and I've seen regress. And part of it, I think, is his partner. Seabrook is the same way. He's not playing as well since he got named to the Olympic team. You know, and then you had Canada that couldn't bring Duncan Keith on board unless they brought his partner with him. So now you got those two guys are not playing well. It's not just the last 2 weeks with the rest of the team. It's been since the beginning of January with the two of them. Duncan Keith since December 22nd against San Jose. Go back and watch that game. He was awful. And Duncan Keith had a lot of awful games recently. You know, I mean, the defense has been terrible in front of these goalies lately. Niemi, I had no problem with. I mean, the third goal against Dallas, yeah, okay. But the first two, he had, those weren't his fault. You know, I'm not for one goalie or another. I mean, I could care less. I just want Joe Quenneville to decide who his number one goalie is and start treating him like a number one goalie. Because this isn't last year when you have two veterans and then, you know, one guy at the end of the year like Hobby Bull, and you could just say, okay, this is our guy now and go off with him. I mean, if you screw with Huey this long, and let's just say that it is Stan Bowman's intention to make a move. Well, you know what? Last year was the Blackhawks' intention to move Nikolai Habibulin, and it fell through at the last moment. So you can't count on it. As a coach, you have to. I mean, you can't protect Huey, and because that's what he's done. I mean, he's protected Huey. He's kept him out of games against some really good teams. Because, you know, and all of this thing, you know, that it was Quenneville's plan to slowly build his confidence and peak him at the right moment. And then, you know, that was, I mean, I'm sure that was his intention, but he's failed at it. And now he's screwing with it even more by playing Niemi three nights in a row and then saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to save, Huey for Columbus since he plays real well, you know, against and especially at Columbus. That's all fine and well, but why can't Huey play back-to-back nights before the Olympic break? It's not like he's doing anything for the next 2 weeks. you know, I want Quenneville to stop showing me his geniusness and just coach the team.
Yeah, eventually, you know, you got to remember, there's only, I believe, what the Hawks have, 22 games left? 22, 23 games left? Eventually, you're going to have, you got to get to your guy. And you got to start getting to that guy, getting him ready to go every night in the playoffs.
To me, again, like, I'm not going to, I'm not as smart as Joe Quenneville. But to me, if I have to plan, even if he doesn't like QA, and, you know, but you have to plan for him being the guy. And like I've said this many times, QA has never been the number one goalie from the start of the season to the very end. So you know that, number one, that's an issue. Can he hold up over time? And then number two, he's never played more than one round of the playoffs. The Blackhawks' intention is to play until the very beginning of June. In 2 months' time, during all that time, basically a little over a month and a half, Cristobal Huey is going to be asked to play anywhere from 22 to 25 games, because you don't rotate your goalies in the playoffs. Maybe the backup will get a start here and there, just a change of pace or one, you know. But I mean, usually it's one guy from the beginning to the end. So Huey is going to be playing almost every other night for a month and a half. You got to get him ready. Otherwise, you're not doing your job as a coach. Fine, you don't think he's the guy. Put him in there. If the Blackhawks, and this is the point I tried to make in the committee meeting, the Blackhawks are not going to, whether they win or the Stanley Cup or they don't, is not going to depend on who's in net. They're a good enough team. They're going to score enough goals, and defensively they're tight enough, and the goalies behind them are competent enough that if they play to their potential as a team, All 20 of them that dress, 19 that participate, they will win they can win the Stanley Cup. They can be there right at the end. Can they, can they outplay Sidney Crosby, in the final round? I don't know. I mean, Sidney Crosby is unreal this year. I don't know that they can do that. And that's another thing. Speaking of Las Vegas, I got in a conversation with someone in Vegas over the weekend at a sports book, and he was telling me all about how great Ovechkin is, and without a question, he's the best player in the world. No, you're just not paying attention if that's your opinion. Sidney Crosby is on another level this year. He's always been one of the greatest players in the world. He's on another level. His tip last night, I mean, it was Sidney Gonchar. It was a set play. Sidney Gonchar winds up like he's going to shoot the puck, and it's basically a pass down low to Crosby. Crosby didn't just tip it. He kind of shovels it up over Henrik Lundqvist's shoulders early in the third period to tie the game. It was just a thing of beauty. But Crosby, he doesn't get enough credit for how gritty he is. He's the best faceoff guy in the league by far. I mean, he's not just a faceoff guy that wins 52% of his faceoffs, which is meaningless. A guy wins 52, he loses 48, it's meaningless. You know, I mean, that's another stat that I hate. But if you're winning 60% of your faceoffs, you know, like him or Taves, you're doing something really well. But if you're hovering, 52, tell me where you win them. You know. So don't, like, that's another thing that gets me angry. Guy wins 52% of the faceoffs. Show me where he wins the most faceoffs. In what situations? Because that's what means something. But, I just say the Blackhawks are capable of winning this thing the way they're constructed today. So don't, I mean, be excited about it, but just don't, like, say, I understand that as a fan you try to be negative. I mean, that's kind of what fans do, in this day and age anyway. It's one, you got to find the negative in everything, and then two, everybody wants to look like a genius. So what's the easiest thing to do is point the finger at the goalie. Well, the Blackhawks won't win because of their goalie. Well, I got news for you, folks. 29 teams this year aren't going to win. Is it all because of their goalie? No. The Blackhawks didn't win last year, and it wasn't because of their goalie. It was because they ran up against a more experienced team. They lost their cool. And then when they could have got back into the series, you know, they just had a stream of consciousness issue from top to bottom, Joe Quenneville included. I mean, that was the reason why that series didn't go back to Detroit. Or it went back to Detroit, but it went back to Detroit in elimination form. You know, but, you know, Huey is good enough, but if Quenville's going to, you know, keep dicking around with it the way it is, then I think it's incumbent upon Stan Bowman to save this team from its coach. Because, you know, because again, I don't understand starting. It's okay if you like Niemi. It's okay if you think he's good. I think he's played well. Maybe he's the goalie of the future. But Huey's your goalie now. And you got to get him ready for the playoffs because he's not a goalie that can – I don't think he's a goalie you can just turn it on. But we'll have to see. All right. We could talk about the Olympics, I guess, this week. I don't think we have to talk about the Olympics today.
No, I don't think we have to either.
I didn't watch any of the Olympic thing last night. I saw the highlights on this morning when I woke up on the news. Apparently, they had some sort of malfunction and they couldn't light the Olympic torch or whatever.
Yeah, I thought other than, you know, I didn't watch it front to back, but I caught most of it and without that little technical difficulty. I thought it was great. I thought it was a great show. You know, indicative to hitting on most of the things that the people of Canada keep pretty sacred. I thought it was done really well. I really did. A little malfunction, but, you know, it's tough to beat what the Chinese did in Beijing 2 years ago. That was just an amazing show. So, but yeah, a little malfunction. Other than that, I thought it was really well.
That's great. I don't really care about any of that. You know what I want to talk about is the NHL yesterday. Like, okay, this is my problem with the NHL and the Olympics. Is the NHL treating the Olympics like it's better than their own league? And, you know, I mean, as a two-week tournament, the teams constructed, five of the teams probably could beat any NHL team. Well, maybe four. I'd say four of the teams could definitely beat any NHL team. But that's besides the point. You're treating the Olympics like it's more important than the games that are going on in your league on the ice right now. Yesterday in Philadelphia, the Flyers start their Friday night game against the Montreal Canadiens at 6 o'clock. Do you know the reason for it, Superstar?
No.
So people can get home to watch the opening Olympic ceremony deal.
That's not good.
No, again, treating your games on the ice, your product that you're asking people to pay for. Again, the NHL, its revenues come from two things. It comes from gate receipts and licensing. They don't get dick from television. And the other thing is, and this was something that people went up in arms for this week, I guess, is basically the reality that NBC won't be carrying any, aside from the gold medal game, won't be carrying any of, you know, U.S. or Canada Olympic hockey. You know, I mean, my question to you, you know, or anybody that you know, thinks that that's a bad thing or, you know, doesn't understand the reasoning behind that is, like, why would you think that they would? The lowest-rated first-run network show, national show, that NBC puts on every week is the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and people have to realize, and it's hard for a hockey fan like yourself or me, who are these other you know, morons who don't understand this. NBC is not going to cater to us. They want the housewives who, you know, wait every 4 years for the figure skating and the ski jump. Guess what? Those are the people that tune in front to back. Because you know damn well, as soon as the hockey game's over, you're changing the channel. I'm changing the channel. That housewife who's watching figure skating, she ain't changing the channel.
Well, the other thing is, like, if you watch, I haven't watched any Olympics in years and years and years, but I remember when I did watch them, that they jump around from competition to competition a lot. A hockey game is something that you can't really, I mean, I've seen it where they've jumped, you know, okay, well, the game is getting hot here, so let's look in. Or, you know, I'm like, oh, let's go back to people, you know.
Dying on the luge.
Yeah, dying on the luge or sliding down a hill. If you're someone that isn't going to be home to watch the game and you want to record the game, don't you want it to be somewhere where you know that it's going to be shown in its entirety?
Yes.
Okay. As a fan, if you're going to be home sitting on the couch eating your bean burritos and raw shrimp cocktail, don't you want to just know that I'm going to tune in to this station and I don't have to worry about clicking over to MSNBC, you know, CNBC, or the USA Network to watch, you know, and then have to flip back and flip back and flip back. Don't you just want to know that you're going to go to one station and that's it's cool, you can watch it?
Yes.
From the NHL standpoint, if it's so important for you to have, you know, have the Olympics and have it showcased and your players to be a part of it, when people are in Las Vegas watching its sports book and they've got all the monitors up, don't, as a league, don't you want it to be easy for the sports book to follow, you know, just to have the game on and not have to be constantly clicking back and forth? Because you know what? In that situation too, people are just gonna get up and walk out, or they're just gonna watch whatever else is on TV. Don't you just want it to be on the USA Network from 2 to 5:30 and that's it, the game's on?
Yes.
Okay. I don't care what network it's on. It's not right. NBC's job to promote hockey. That's Gary Bettman's job. So don't say, I mean, if NBC had anything invested in the NHL, they don't. If they had something invested in the NHL, maybe I could see your point, but they don't. So don't cry me a river about the NBC doesn't do this and NBC doesn't do that. NBC doesn't have to do anything because they don't have to pay for the product, because the NHL has to beg them to put games on television for free because not enough people watch to where NBC has to pay for it.
Right. And if this is, you know what, the other thing too is this isn't 1981 when cable's just getting into every American household. Guess what? If you don't have USA, you have a bigger problem than catching USA Canada.
You know what I would argue, and I think it's a good idea to be on, you know, and this is me being, you know, if I was Gary Bettman, I'd be a lot shorter and even dweebier looking. But I think it's a great thing to even if you're treated like a, you know, a stepchild. I think it's a great thing to be on NBC once a week, you know, periodically across the board. But I think that it would, for me, I would want to be on a network that people go to and in a demographic that I covet and a demographic that the NHL covets or should covet is, you know, that the 24 to 40, you know, 24 or 24 to 45. Or 18 to 45, those people are watching Spike TV. Those people are watching the USA Network, more so Spike TV. I would want my product on one of those channels. You know, I mean, versus is versus, and you know, we're coming down to the wire here with, you know, especially for the UFC. The UFC's got a show at the very beginning of, March. DirecTV and Versus had another setback. It's not Versus, it's Comcast that DirecTV is quarreling with. But, you know, you got 2 months basically until the start of the playoffs. that's when it's really going to affect the NHL. Being on, you know, Versus and DirecTV is, you know, has a lot of NHL fans. A lot of NHL fans got DirecTV specifically in the beginning so they could get the NHL package, like myself. And, you know, but for me, I would want to be on a standard cable channel that I can give me a 3 or 3.5 hour block once or twice a week, and I can create my own American hockey night, you know, in America. It'd be a great thing for USA, you know. I mean, if it's, I would rather it be, you know, a Thursday or a Saturday night. You have a hockey night in America, you know. But it's. You know, because, I mean, those networks are constantly running all through the week. They're constantly running ads about, you know, this is what you're getting, you know, NHL coming up. And the expectations for ratings aren't as great as they are on NBC. If the NHL pulls a 1.8 on Spike TV, I mean, Spike TV is, I mean, they're throwing parties. There's, you know, they're throwing a parade for Gary Bettman. A 1.8 on NBC is, you know, we're not, you know, don't ask us for any money next time we come up for renewal. You know, so I just think that they're misplaced. I think you'd rather be on a station that, you know, your fans can find, and, you know, your partner is into you. You know, your partner can invest in you.
I mean, you've hit all the exact points that make 100% right. The only thing is, and you hit on it again, it's not NBC's job to promote the NHL. You know, now, to a casual viewer, it does seem like it makes sense. You're shutting down the NHL. The NHL's already on NBC. The NBC has the Olympics. I get it. It looks like it's a perfect fit. But to a hockey fan who really is, that's all he's going to watch through these Olympics, once again, you're not going to want to be, hey, I'm watching hockey and the guy's on the breakaway and they cut away because Lindsay Vonn just fell on the luge or whatever the hell she does.
She didn't, you know, really. She didn't. I saw Lindsay Vonn this morning. She looks okay. She's all right.
Okay. She's okay.
She's gonna, whatever it is she does, I think she's going to be able to do it.
Okay.
I was very disappointed to find out that she was married, though.
Is that what was on your computer earlier?
No, it was something else. But Lindsay Vonn. I guess Vonn is her taken married name too. There was a feature. Lester Holt did a feature with this morning. I was very in tune with that.
I did not catch it.
Oh, it was nice. All right. I got something else I got to talk about. I forgot what it is. Oh. Since people have, you know, Barry Rosner wrote this article about, you know, the headline. You know what the headline was? I think I even still, one of these things that I got up here on the computer. The headline was Hawks Interested in Wisniewski. No. Like, why? It's like, and bringing in Kim Johnson, we've probably talked about it. I mean, there's a trade that happened yesterday. First of all, Kim Johnson, there's two layers of this deal. First of all, and it is a very good deal, I think. I mean, it took me a while to sort of process it when I got the release yesterday while I was working, and it kind of took me some time. I don't think it's much of an upgrade from Cam Barker at all. But as far as a guy with experience who can move the puck and play a sound defensive game on that third pairing with Brent Sopel, it is a slight upgrade from Cam Barker. I don't think it's exponentially better. I don't think the Blackhawks have leapfrogged San Jose, you know, with this move. But I am a little bit more comfortable with the defense today than I was yesterday. That being said, I don't think Kim Johnson is the guy that they need. you know, as far as improving the depth. And because if you watch these games the last few weeks, especially, Nicholas Halmerson and Brent Sopel are not long for this lineup. And one of those two guys is going to go down to injury pretty soon. And when they do, the Blackhawks don't have anybody in the organization that can replace what they do. Like Jordan Hendry.
Great.
Jordan Hendry can come up and play next to Brent Sopel. Jordan Hendry can come up and play next to Brian Campbell. But, you know, he can't do what those guys do. I mean, to me, and everybody likes to make fun of Brent Sopel, and everybody likes to criticize Brent Sopel, but to me, and this is another thing, really, remember when when that survey came out about Chicago sports fans, I think it was mid-last year or something, and in the pool of people that they polled, they determined that the Blackhawks fans were the most educated and the highest earners. Okay.
I do remember this poll now.
Okay. Well, what does that say to you?
It doesn't really mean much to me.
Okay. What it says is the Blackhawks. You know, for all that's said about Chicago sports fans, the myth is that Chicago sports fans are blue-collar fans. That's not the case. It's just not the case. And when, of all the Chicago sports fans, I mean, because there's some real meathead Bears fans. Like, if you've been to a Bears game, I mean, you would be,
not recently, but yeah.
You would be surprised
these
people found the park. I mean, you would be surprised these people could find Soldier Field.
Yeah, it's definitely the mouth-breathing society of Chicago.
White Sox games, there's some really, like, smart, like, intelligent people that are at White Sox games. Not all, but, you know.
Yeah, as a Cubs fan, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Cubs fans, there's the party fans, I mean, the young, you know, the college, you know, and then there's the hipsters, but then there's, like, the real old people that are just the hardcores that they're never going to drive away, you know. But, I mean, it's a real weird thing going on there at Wrigley Field. I don't know anything about basketball, so I can't speak to it. But Hawks games are where you're getting the people that are making money. So what does that mean? They're white-collar people for the most part. You know, so, I mean, here's this guy out on the ice. So in the myth that is Chicago sports fans, they should love Brent Sopel. Here's a guy with minimal skill, comparatively. I mean, he plays in the NHL. He's pretty goddamn good. If he were to come out in my men's league on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, we might have a little bit of problems with this man. But in the NHL, I mean, he's a lower grade of skill, but he gets the most out of what he has, and he contributes to the team in ways that no one else will. I mean, every night this guy's getting banged up, and he takes shots, and it's hard for him to get back to the bench. You know, he's a modern day warrior. But yet people don't like him because he's not Duncan Keith. You know, I'm just so sick of that blue-collar fans, they just want their team to work hard. That's bullshit. Blackhawks fans want a Stanley Cup handed to them like they're entitled. I'm so sick of it.
Sopel's just been so good over the last month.
He's been really good all year. Yeah, he has the occasional blowout. Yeah, occasionally he doesn't get the puck where it needs to be, but that's why he's the sixth defenseman. That happens. But what he's given the team this year, there's nobody else in the organization that's capable of it, below Brent Seabrook. I mean, he's making a good first pass, a great majority of the time, blocking shots, killing penalties, being physical. You know, just doing the right things at the right time. And when he makes a mistake, getting up and getting right back into the play and atoning for it. He's a character guy. who's giving everything he has to this team. And no, it doesn't make him an all-star, but he's giving everything he has to this team. He should be revered. If you believe what has always been said about Chicago sports fans is that they love you as long as you work hard. But it's bullshit, because Blackhawks fans want a Stanley Cup handed to them like they're entitled.
Yeah, and as a Hawks fan, I wish we were entitled, but unfortunately we're not.
The other guy is Troy Brouwer. Troy Brouwer is having an incredible season. Another guy who, comparatively, again, would tear up my men's league, but comparatively, he's a guy of certain skills, but he has to put everything he has in every night to compete at this level, and he's doing it. He's playing on that top line for the time being, because it'll be interesting to see what happens when Burge comes back, because things are going to move around, and I don't know what's going to happen to Troy Brouwer. But, you know, he should be, I should see 25 to 50 Troy Brouwer jerseys when I get to the United Center tonight. I don't know that I'll see one. I should see Sopel jerseys all over the place. If you believe that Chicago sports fans just love the down and dirty, gritty, give everything you got, it's bullshit. Chicago sports fans are a myth.
It's definitely an interesting point of view. I don't know if I've actually really thought of it like that, but yeah, you are right.
I mean, there was a time, because if you go back to the 80s, those Blackhawks teams were very, very good, but, I mean, the players that comprised those teams were not of elite skill. You know, I mean, Daryl Sutter is the guy that I would point to. Daryl Sutter was not he was a key component on that team. The Blackhawks, they relied on that guy, but he had to give. I mean, he literally gave up his body in 10 years. There was nothing left of Daryl Sutter because of how hard he had to play. And Blackhawks fans loved that man because of it. And nowadays, you're an afterthought because you're not as skilled as Patrick Kane. And a part of it, I think a part of it is because your captain is this, all-around stud guy. But still, you could separate that. You know, there's one guy that on the team that gets away with it and gets it because he's media savvy, because, you know, he's smart enough to know when to say the right things. He's willing to get in front of a camera for the PR department. And Wisniewski was the same way. It's why Wisniewski was so beloved, because no one's watching him play hockey. Because if anybody watched James Wisniewski play hockey, they would hate the man. But they don't. But they watched him do his little vignettes on the scoreboard on Blackhawks TV. They looked at him smile, and he had two teeth, and they're like, "Oh, I really like that guy. He's cool. He's funny. He was a horrible hockey player. He still is." But, you know, he gets it. Like, he knows how to get into the hearts of fans. And Burrish is the same way. Burrish is a decent fourth-line player who works really, really hard. I think he's chippy, he's dirty, you know, which is something Blackhawks fans supposedly don't like. But, you know, but he gets it. He knows how to get himself over with the fans, you know, to where with Sopel and Brouwer really don't. So, you know, they're not beloved. You know, they're bland personalities that, don't shine in front of a camera, so they can't fool the fans into liking them. It's just something that really bothers me about the way this team is sort of seen. And again, it goes back to the Hue thing. It's like, you know, the unrest that is, you know, fans with him and the goaltender situation. It's just like, you know, you should treat this season like Stanley Cup or bust, but also take into account, like I wrote in the Committed Indian last Friday night, Marc-Andre Fleury, yeah, he's going to the Olympics, and he's going to be an option, a third option for Mike Babcock, But I almost don't even know why. Because he's, you know, everything that you don't like about Cristobal Huey, same thing with Fleury. You know, he gives up bad goals. You can almost count on him to give up a bad goal a game. You know, the Penguins, you know, had to get through rounds the last couple of years in spite of their goalie. And the Blackhawks, I mean, they almost had to do it last year too. Because Javi Bullen was nothing special. And if Cristobal Huey can be just as nothing special, or if it's whomever it is, if it's Marty Turco, if it ends up being Marty Turco, if he could just be what Javi Bullen was last year, the Blackhawks are a better team than they were last year. So, you know, just by knowing that, they should be right back in the conference finals. And depending on, I mean, if it's San Jose, it's going to be a brutal war, and it's a toss-up in the end. But there's no reason why the Blackhawks can't get back to that point. And if choosing Hossa over Havlat was that big of an upgrade, you know.
He's got to start showing it.
Well, that's another thing. If Marty Havlat is playing amazing hockey right now. I mean, Marty Havlat that we saw down the stretch last year in the playoffs is the Marty Havlat that Minnesota's getting right now. The only problem is Marty Havlat is still being centered by Andrew Ebbett. The Andrew Ebbett that the Blackhawks lost when they tried to send him to Rockford. And Havlat's the only presence on that line. I mean, Andrew Ebbett's playing fine. Like, he played a decent game last night. He's playing fine. But Laton Dress on the left wing on that line is slowed down. He's not really doing much. It's a Havlat show up there. If you get a chance to watch a Minnesota Wild game, or watch Marty Havlat in the Olympics play for the Czech. He's just amazing right now. Just so good. Anyway,
yeah,
I
don't think Hossa's done much of anything. He's definitely slowed down since that initial impact in the last 3 weeks to a month.
All right, let's talk about a couple of things. I want to thank a reader that I met on, when was it? That doesn't matter. Mike, who got the Theo Fleury book, Playing with Fire, and then also our caller from last week that I also didn't pick up on, and I told him to email, and he did, and his name escapes me right now. Chuck. Chuck got the Playing with Fire book. I'll say this right now. I got a couple copies left, and I really don't even want to bother with like anything special. Like, so again, like if you see me at the United Center, well, that's not going to work. I don't know how many people are going to hear this. Email me if you want the book, and whatever I got left, I'll give away. I'm done with the Theo Fleury book now. What else? Let's do a show on Wednesday. How about that?
No good.
No good? What about Tuesday?
Nope. Tuesday works. Tuesday works this week. It is Ash Wednesday, so I have further commitments Wednesday night.
That's right. This weekend's Mardi Gras.
It is.
Why am I not in St. Louis?
I don't know.
You know what? Someone brought that up to me over the weekend in Las Vegas. I didn't have an answer for him. I just thought about that right now.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. What's the problem?
I don't know.
Rolling doobie!
You know, I said this in the recap of last week's show, but from now on, anytime the name Dion Phaneuf, Sean Avery, or Alicia Cuthbert is brought up on this show, we're going to have a new drop for it.
Smoky package!
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah. Either one of them. We'll play this one, too.
Have a go! I'll be in there for Smoky package!
Great cut.
Toronto did not look good last night in St. Louis. Ooh, boy.
I did not see it.
Well, call me up after the show. I'll tell you all about it. Okay, so Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. I do want to get to something before we leave, because I've been meaning to bring this up for 2 weeks on the show, and I always forget. You know, Ilya Kovalchuk scored his first goal as a double last night.
He did.
Yeah, and the idiot fans in New Jersey threw their hats on the ice.
That's pretty dumb.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, like, what if Ilya? Because let's just face it. I mean, I don't think the Blackhawks, you know, Ilya Kovalchuk, you know, does anything, you know, anything, you know. If he came here, whatever, fine. It would be fun to watch, but it's not what the Blackhawks need, you know, as long as Kane and Hosa are healthy. But can you imagine? I mean, this is what would have sent Blackhawks fans into a frenzy, you know, if Ilya Kovalchuk, you know, they'd all be standing in the, you know, sitting in their seats masturbating during games, you know.
But, a lot like you.
Not during games. But, like, I was like, trying to think, like, if, you know, what would a Blackhawks fans know? What would have, you know, John McDonough done for Ilya Kovalchuk's first goal?
That's a good question. Did you come up with anything?
No, I mean, I wasn't too creative. Like, you know, maybe a couple of people would have, like, jumped the glass, you know. Like, everyone would throw their bobbleheads on the ice or something.
Yeah, I don't know what they could have done.
But Bobby Hull would have had a heart attack on the concourse and died.
You know, I forgot about Bobby Hull and the whole death pool, because I think he would have been a solid pick.
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, we can go all back and remember the limo zine ride in Vancouver that was captured on film.
We do.
Okay. Now, I think it was covered as a story, basically how things like this are covered as a story nowadays in the, you know, the world of TMZ and whatever else is out there. Something like this happens involving celebrities, and again, if you want the Blackhawks to be really, really good, and you want John McDonough to promote them, and you want them to be local celebrities, when they do, you know, things out in public that, or, you know, things that become public that are, you know, a little bit off, they become news. That's, you know, the consequences of being a celebrity on any level. So, these three dopes, Patrick Kane, Chris Versteeg, and John Madden, get in a limousine with some puck bunnies in Vancouver, go out for a ride, and are stupid enough to allow these girls to take pictures of them in various states of undress. Now, if you're Chris Versteeg or Patrick Kane, you know, it is a big deal. I mean, it's very much a big deal because, you know, especially to the Blackhawks, because these guys are representing their organization. No matter where you go, what you do, you're representing the Blackhawks organization. So when you allow these girls to take these pictures, and whatever happened that they ended up on the internet, you allowed them. I mean, you were in the confines of a limousine, you were in a private deal, and you allowed these strangers, you know, we'll assume, I mean, the Blackhawks have been in Vancouver before, who knows? But you allow these strange women to take these pictures of you in compromising situations. You're stupid. That's news. And it's not doing the Blackhawks any favors that these pictures got out. And, yeah, John McDonough's going to be really fucking pissed about it because it's reflecting bad upon his team, the team that he's responsible for. So, yes, it is a news story. And it's very much important to John McDonough. So don't try to tell me that it wasn't even that big of a story as much as it was something that was out there for a few days and then it kind of went to bed and it was over. But don't tell me it was overblown when these three morons allowed this to happen. I mean, they brought it upon themselves. But locally here, there's a girl who is a Sarah Spain. Now, for those of you that don't know Sarah Spain, she's like a local blogger, sort of media hound, kind of a minor media hound. She likes to go around and interview players, and I don't know what she really covers. I've met Sarah Spain before, and she seems like a nice girl, and you know, her writing is fine, whatever. I don't have a problem with Sarah Spain at all, but I have a problem with this. On Twitter, and again, you see how far behind I am on getting to this. January 27th, 7:46 p.m. on Sarah Spain's Twitter, she says, "Enough with the at Blackhawks quote unquote scandal. It's such a in capitals non-story." Now let's stop right there. First of all, it's not Sarah Spain's job to be telling us what's a story and what's not a story. I got news for you. If people are interested in something, it's a story. You know, the media doesn't. I mean, there have been instances, and like Barry Rosner with James Wisniewski, where someone tries to create a story or create news. You know, yeah, that happens. But for the most part, the media is just relaying stories. That's their job. They're not out there creating news. They're just relaying it. When they relay it, if people are interested in it and it gets people talking, then it becomes a story. You know, if those pictures end up on the internet and people look at them, they're like, oh, those guys are out partying. That's cool. And then they just go on, you know, they click off that website and go to the next. Then it never becomes a story. But when people look at it and go, whoa, wait a minute, isn't John Madden married? Why is that? Why is he wearing no shirt and that woman's unbuckling his pants in a limo on the road? People get interested. It becomes a story. Sarah Spain, don't tell me what's a story and what's not a story, because that's not for you to decide. But then the next line here is particularly amusing. She continues, Sarah Spain, "People will sensationalize anything to get hits." Okay, let's visit this here for a second. Sarah Spain, okay, again, met her, nice girl. I don't have a problem with her. I hope she doesn't take this the wrong way, though I'm sure she will. Now, if anybody's not seen Sarah Spain, I mean, Google her. I'm sure you'll find a picture of her. Go to her history of blogging and Mouthpiece Sports and wherever. She's a Chicago Now blogger now, and go wherever. Now, she says people will sensationalize anything to get hits. The whole reason why anybody knows Sarah Spain's name, I mean, let's just be honest let's just be honest for a second. There's two reasons why anybody knows who Sarah Spain is. She's got two big tits. I mean, isn't that the reason?
That is the reason.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, this is the girl who became somewhat known on the internet for auctioning herself off as a date to go to the Super Bowl.
She did.
Okay, that's how Sarah Spain's, like, you know, became, you know, somebody, I guess, if being on the internet.
Yeah, you know what she is? She's the Chicago sports version of Tila Tequila.
Well, let's not go that far. You know, but that's where it started with her. She put herself out there and ran a campaign on the internet to have someone take her to the Super Bowl. And you know why it was going to work? Because she is a decent-looking girl with a big rack. And any guy not any guy, but most guys would want to take her to the Super Bowl. So it was going to work. I mean, at the end of the day, Sarah Spain wasn't going to be sitting there without a ticket to the Super Bowl.
No, she was not.
And she knew it. So she looked at herself in the mirror and said, you know what, I know how I can get to go to the Super Bowl. So that's, I mean, that's how her whole deal started, I guess. I don't know anything from her from before. So she's got, you know, so she sensationalized herself to get to go to the Super Bowl and made herself somewhat known in the process via YouTube or whatever, wherever it was at the time. In the aftermath of that, I mean, she's become, you know, she became the interviewer on Mouthpiece Sports. She was one of the first, quote-unquote, bloggers to be given press passes to, or press access to the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, the reason why, you know, and of course it was quickly taken away, and it was all her fault that it was taken away, but the reason why it wasn't because she was a media member. It was because two guys in the Blackhawks front office had a thing for her and didn't mind having her around every day. And then she screwed it up in the end. But, I mean, that's the way it is. But in the aftermath of that, she gets a job with fantasyplayers.com or something. Okay? Fantasyplayers.com puts her on their webcast thing and she's there to tell people of, you know, what's going on with fantasy football every week. Who to play, who not to play, this and that. And she's standing there in a real tight shirt, boobs propped up, cleavage showing, decent-looking girl telling me about fantasy football. Now, why would fantasy whatever.com do that?
Good text.
Because as a man, I am more likely to go to their website and look at her tell me about fantasy football than I am some dweeb in glasses that's 10 times as qualified.
Fairy time wits.
So, Sarah, don't tell me or don't accuse other people, you know, and say, you know, imply that it's wrong or it's a bad thing when it's how you got your job. She's like, look in the mirror, you know. Nice girl. I don't have any problem with her. Just don't. You can't say that. You can't say people will do anything to say, you know, sensationalize anything to get hits when it's the reason why you're on that website. Because you're a decent-looking girl with a big rack, and you're not afraid to show it. You're sensationalizing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're using yourself to help that website get hits. It's not, you know, I'm not going to that website to watch you read a teleprompter. You know, and there's, and you know, no offense to her, but I can go to many, many websites on the internet and look at women with bigger boobs, and they'll show me them all, and they're better looking than her. So, I mean, that's why she's there, because that whatever fantasy, whatever it is, you know, using her to get hits.
Right. It's the pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly. Thank you very much. So, just it's really, ever since I saw that, it just, I couldn't believe, like, I mean, I can believe it, but it just really bothered me. Anyway, all right, another edition of the Third Man in Radio is in the books. Superstar, we will be back on Tuesday night because you have Ash Wednesday, and that's very important. It's very important stuff.
It is very important stuff.
And as a Catholic, it should probably be very important to me, too, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that.
Busy things.
Yeah. All right, so Tuesday night, what is that going to be? February 16th on blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. Of course, people might have, what is it tomorrow? You got the sweetheart day tomorrow, right, Superstar?
The Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. Very, very good. I'm sure a lot of people will be celebrating that tonight. Goodwill to all. We will talk to you on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, February 16th, blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. Probably offending more people and insulting and create more enemies.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do best.
All right. Thank you very much, Superstar, and good day, everybody.
Goodbye.